Today on Family Talk.
Boys and girls are different, which means they need to be parented differently. So how does a mom or dad who is intimidated by raising boys prepare for this great feat? What information and tools do they need to raise sons who become great men of character and men of God? Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we'll hear the conclusion of a conversation between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and our co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Last time, they spent a lot of the program talking to single moms who are parenting sons. But today's program will take a more general approach in preparing all parents for raising boys who become great men. Now let's get into the program and figure out how to raise great boys. Here's my dad and Dr. Meg Meeker on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, Doctor, we have had so much fun talking about boys and raising boys and boy issues. And as I sit across from you watching you and listening to you, it makes me realize I understand less about you than I thought I understood. But I have one question for you as a mom of three daughters and a son. Why do sons drive mothers so crazy?
And they do.
They do.
And the reason is because they're different.
We
boys
really
and girls
are
different.
We?
You know, the culture has told us that they're not different. And the feminists especially have said, yeah, they're different, but because of patriarchal teaching and we've got to fix them.
We made them that way.
We can fix them. We can make them more like girls. And they try. And it doesn't work because there's something deep inside boys that's different. Mm-hmm. And they do drive their mothers crazy because they are always fighting. There's all this activity. Yeah. They're noisy. They're sometimes
dirty.
Dirty. They're not very clean. And also, boys need to put distance between themselves and their mothers because they're trying to be like their fathers are trying to be masculine. They're starting to learn what that means. And to be too close to your mothers to be different than you want to be. And that makes the mother feel rejected.
And it makes us feel that we're not good enough mothers. Because from a mother's standpoint, the way we grow close to our children is to talk to them. And if they don't want to talk to us, we chase after them and talk more. But I've seen in my own son's eyes this sense of, this is creepy, Mom. Get away from me.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is boys don't need that, do they? And as a matter of fact, they don't want that.
I don't know if our listeners will understand this, but I have a very good memory of childhood. It started at 2 and even before that. And I don't know why, but I do remember a lot of what took place. And I was an only child, and my mother wanted to love me in the way that a woman would love a girl.
Yes.
And at 2 and 3 years of age, she would hug me and kiss me on the cheek. She was not being, inappropriate, but I was her only son. And I remember that bothering me. And I remember saying to her one time, Mother, that's silly. Yeah. And she was smart enough to get it. She never did it again.
Really?
Yeah. But it was that same thing. I was feeling, hey, don't you know I'm a guy? I'm not one of those, you know. But boys are flighty, far more flighty than girls. They are far more aggressive than girls for the most part. They're more competitive than their sisters. They love to take risks. And girls don't.
Okay, what is it with the risks and parachutes and planes and fast cars?
Yeah, fast cars and balls and footballs and trucks.
My son, even to this day, is 23. He'll die when I say this, but he's had this thing about wrestling animals. If we see a big animal or he sees it on top, I could take that tiger down. I could take that lion down. I thought, why would you ever even think about that? You know, who wants to wrestle
an
animal?
Boys want to be heroes. They want to save the girls.
And they want to win.
Do they have a passion to win. I was watching a television program the other day of of the Manning family. And there were three boys and the father, Archie. Two of the boys became great quarterbacks. And the father, of course, was an absolutely wonderful NFL quarterback with the Saints. And they would cry when they compete with each other in the backyard. That's the way they are made. Mm-hmm. And it is why they take risks. Meg, listen to this. I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And my father and I used to love to have kick fights. He was 6 foot four.
And you would kick him and he would kick you?
Yeah. we would kick each other and I would laugh. And then I'd get mad and come after him and he'd block my kick and that hurt my shins. My mother would go ballistic. Yeah. What are you doing to that boy? Yeah. She didn't realize I loved it.
You loved it.
I absolutely loved it, yes, to be able to fight with my dad
in that way. Yes, yes. And it doesn't let up even as you get older and bigger and heavier, because yeah. I would see my son with his friends who were each 200 pounds in my kitchen, you know, throwing each other on the floor. And I'd say, this is wrong. This is just not right, you know. But that's part of the maleness, isn't it?
Testosterone is what it is.
Yes.
And that's working on him.
Yes.
I say to the mothers who are bothered by this, get over it.
Yeah.
This is who he is.
That's who he is.
And you wouldn't want him to be different from that. And someday he will put his life on the line to protect a wife.
Yeah.
He'll be the one to get up and go check on the noise in the other part of the house. He'll put his life on the line.
Yes.
Because he's made that way. He's made to protect his wife. And to provide for his wife, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, lead his wife, mm-hmm. and to provide spiritual leadership mm-hmm. for his family.
Yeah.
Those are the assignments the Lord's given him. Mm-hmm. And a woman is much more sensitive and caring for people. She's going to be a mother. Yeah. The Lord is preparing her, whether she ever becomes a mother or not, he's preparing her to be nurturing.
And to protect children in a very different way than a father would protect them. Is it fair, doctor, to say we're living in a culture that doesn't like men and boys very much?
Absolutely. We're living in a culture where it's touchy-feely all the time. People don't realize that this masculine aspect is not a mistake. I ask the question in my book, which is better, femininity or masculinity? The answer is yes, both.
Both.
They have a different function.
Very different.
They have a different purpose.
And we want to smash that, don't we?
The radical feminists do. That, like I say, they have wanted to change men. There is this assault on masculinity now that bothers me. If you just look at the commercials today, the women in the commercials are beautiful. They've got it together. They're smart. They do the right thing. They win. And the guys are overweight and often bald and
dumb.
Do really stupid things. And the sitcoms are all like that. Where is a boy going to find out how a man acts if he never sees it?
Well, and there we're back again. What kind of message does a teenage boy get about who he is as a man by watching television and watching movies and being told over and over and over, you are going to grow up to be a deadbeat dad, if you're a dad at all. You're going to be overweight. Yeah. You're going to be bald. You're going to be stupid. As a matter of fact, you already are. What impact does it have on the adolescent male psyche?
Well, the unfortunate consequence frequently is that a grown man does not know what it means to be a man. He mm-hmm. still has never figured it out. His self-concept is weak. He doesn't see himself as a strong man, as a leader. You know, males need admiration from females. Admiration and respect. The mother can show that. She can communicate to him, you know, I admire you so much. You're so much like your dad. You know, there are things that you say that goes and sticks in the heart, and they never forget it.
Yes.
I can remember comments made about me like that, that were when I was less than 10 years of age. Mm-hmm. They stay with you because a boy has a need to be a man. Let him be a man.
Let him be
it. Let him take those risks. When I was 16 years old, a captain of a shrimp boat invited me to work on his boat, go out a long way in the Gulf of Mexico and let down the nets and bring them up at 12 o'clock at night and all that. And I really wanted to do it. And my mother was worried about it because there are all kinds of things that can happen when you're out on the high seas.
Sure.
You know, and she was just saying, that's dangerous. I don't want you to do it. And I finally remember saying to my mother, Mom, when are you going to let me go? When are you going to let me be a man? And again, that's all it took. Mm-hmm. And she let me go. And man, I loved being out there with men.
But from a mother's perspective, I can understand, because we feel that if we're going to be good mothers, we're going to protect and we're going to help and we're going to nurture and we're going to safeguard our teenage boys from killing themselves. But what you're saying is they need to know at some point that a transition takes place in a mother's mind where she no longer sees you as a boy but as a man.
Yeah, and there will be times when you ought to let them take those risks. Now, you don't want to do stupid things, you know. You don't want to put them in such danger that you're going to lose them.
Right.
But as with this shrimp boat experience, that played a role in my getting a real good look at how men operate when they are not around women.
Was that good or bad?
At both. both. Uh-huh. But I began to understand the role. I began to get it. The athletics did a lot for me that way. I played tennis when I was 8, and I played all the way through college. I was captain of the tennis team and played till I was 30 and then shifted to basketball. Playing basketball with those guys 3 times a week, it was pickup basketball. I never was great at it, but I loved it because we laughed and we had fun, and it was different than being with women. I loved to be with women, too. You know, Shirley and I have been married for 55 years, and I have loved that relationship. But she admires me as a man.
Yes.
And I admire her as a woman.
And, you know, and I think what you're touching on is so critical, and that is women want to demand respect and admiration and help from men. You know, tell me I'm doing a good job. Help me with this. Don't do that. But then when we turn the tables and say, now we should do that for men as well and say, I admire you, I respect you, you are masculine, we don't want to embrace and applaud masculinity, but we want to demand from men that they embrace and applaud femininity. That's really a double standard, isn't it?
Both ways.
Yeah. And I think that what you're saying here is it's really taken a toll on our sons. Because when a mother doesn't want to look at a son and say, I respect you, you're a good man, but she holds on and doesn't want to let that son go, it really cripples him. I see a number of women who have adult sons living in their homes. And again, most are single and dads aren't around. Can you speak to that a little bit? Good for guys, bad for guys? What advice would you give to the mother who has a son who's 25 and is living at home with her?
Well, it depends a lot on how productive he is. You know, if he's sitting around the house and he's playing video games and watching television and waiting for a dish to rattle in the kitchen, and, you know, he's still a little boy, really.
Really,
and
yes.
I'd help him pack.
Yeah.
I'd get him out of there if that is the way he's spending his time.
It's that cutting again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sons need it more than daughters do, I think, a real definitive time in their life where they say, I don't need mother anymore.
And you know the phrase, a boy is a boy until he takes a wife. A girl is a girl for the rest of her life. It's different for a girl to be close to her mother and even to live there for a time.
It's
another thing for a boy to waste his time and skills and abilities and won't get out and find a job or won't go to school, isn't productive, isn't doing anything that will lead to success in life.
Yes.
If that's occurring, get him out.
Get him out. Talk about, this is another thing I think mothers have a difficulty understanding. A man or a boy's work is central to his identity as a man.
Absolutely.
I don't know that women feel that. I wear so many hats. I'm a mother. I'm a writer. I'm in this. But that's very important for men to develop. How old should a boy be, or how old is a son when he begins to feel that sense that what I can do and contribute and create is central and important to who I am?
Let me give you a generality that some people will argue with. A man's identity does depend largely on his success in business and success professionally or whatever he's doing. When men get together, they talk about it. Well, what are you doing? Well, I've built a new building, and it's kind of neat to have my name on a building. And,
yeah.
I'm a physician. Whatever I am, he will tell others about it. When women get together, they don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. They talk about their kids.
They talk about whatever
they're doing that's not necessarily leading toward earning a living.
Right.
So self-esteem for women tends to be built around a relationship with a man.
Yeah.
A man who can say, I love you with all my heart. I'd give my life for you. I thank God that he brought you into my life. And the romantic side of what he says is vital to her self-confidence and their self-esteem. His, when he's with men, he doesn't say, my wife loves me a lot. it's a whole different thing.
But I think that's very hard, and it's a very important point, because a lot of women, modern women, are trained, you can have it all, be it all, provide it all. You don't need a man. You don't need a man to even have a child. You can adopt, you can whatever. So, maleness is not necessarily important at all. And now you've got a son who comes along who says, where I get my identity is from a very different place. And a lot of it has to do with how much I can produce and the work that I do. Do you advocate mothers or parents encouraging children, boys, to have jobs early on or to teach kids how to work?
Well, I do. I do, and it should start pretty early. A boy should learn how to work, how to hold a job, how to get there on time. We're going to irritate a lot of women out there who are going to say,
okay.
Well, I want that for my daughter, too. I know, it just happens to be different.
It's different.
I saw an article last weekend by a journalist for CNN. And it alarmed me. She had gone onto college campuses and had talked and interviewed women primarily who were saying, why do I need marriage?
Right.
I don't need this. It cost me $20,000 to have a wedding. I can go to Europe on that. And if I want to have children, I can have them.
Right.
What's to keep me from having them? I don't have to have a husband for that. And it is an anti-family perspective that's going to destroy this country and destroy the family if it continues.
It's anti-male. It's anti-men.
It is. Who needs you?
Yeah. And that's what bothers me so much, is raising a son to be a solid, healthy man in a world that says, you're not needed for anything.
Yeah.
We don't need you to help us have babies. We don't need you for work. As a matter of fact, and this is what I see in mothers with some adult sons, is I can provide everything you need, money, everything, so you don't need to go stand on your own. And it absolutely cripples boys.
You know what drew Shirley to me and me to her had a different origin. What I loved about my relationship with her, both before we were married and afterward, is that she respected me and made me know it. After we first got married, she would say to me, My goodness, I can't wait to see what God's going to do for you. You are a very bright man. I am so excited to be part of your team. She was not embarrassed to say that to me.
Yeah.
And I returned it with romantic love, and it worked. That's all I can tell you.
It worked so well. You know, Walt and I have been married 34 years, and still to this day, when I look at him and I say, you know what, you're an extraordinary physician.
He needs to hear that from you more than his patients or his colleagues.
And life for me is so much better the following 24 hours. Just the simple compliment. And I think that the way we women talk to men needs to change. And I think the way mothers talk to their sons needs to change. And we need to show them admiration and respect as men, that we admire and respect you for being men to our sons. Yeah. And I worry about what boys hear and the way they're spoken to, and in particular, the messages they can get from their own mothers in their own homes. And I think a lot of times it can be very demeaning without us even meaning it to be demeaning.
Let's go back to where we started. Why do boys
drive their mothers crazy?
When you see your boy doing the things that irritate you, smile and say, God made him that way.
Right.
I'm glad he's that way. The Lord is preparing him for something. And when he takes a risk, if a girl gets hurt, she will make sure it never happened again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she breaks sooner. Research shows she breaks sooner on a bicycle.
Oh.
And she goes slower. She's more cautious, more careful. And if she does fall, she'll be a lot more careful about it next time. The boy will go right back and do it again.
Yeah.
I mean, he will make the same mistake over and over again because to him, it wasn't that he did something wrong or dumb. It was bad luck. And
of course.
He would go right back to it again because there is this testosterone-driven desire to succeed, to be physically strong, to be brave. All those things are masculine characteristics. There's nothing wrong with that. When you see it happen, be glad for it.
Smile and embrace it and love it and don't try to pound it out of them.
Yeah.
Nobody hears us anywhere. And it's so wonderful, each of us being a female and a male, and I truly don't understand.
Wouldn't it be boring if those differences weren't there,
it would be terrible. Well, Doctor, talking to you about boys has been a ball. I think I understand a little bit better. And at least I know the next time my son really drives me crazy, I'm just going to smile. It's all good. God knows what he's doing. And I think moving forward, I'm going to approach him a little bit differently because of our conversation.
We've both written a book on this subject.
Yes.
You've written it from a feminine point of view.
Yes.
And it's called Strong Mothers, Strong Sons.
Correct.
It's good.
Thank you.
Okay. And I've written my own version of that called Bringing Up Boys and Bringing Up Girls. You've also written on
Fathers and Daughters. Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. Masculinity is great. Femininity is great. Live aside each other. Respect it. Love it. And don't keep trying to change it and pound it out and tweak it. God made us so different for a very good reason, didn't
he? Viva la difference.
Yes.
It's nice talking to you, Dr. Meeker, and let's do it again.
Thank you so much.
Well, I always enjoy hearing the wisdom and expertise from two of the world's foremost experts on parenting, and especially about raising boys. We've been listening to the conclusion of a conversation between my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Dr. Meg Meeker here on Family Talk. We just love Dr. Meeker. She's been a pediatrician for over 25 years, and I'm sure you can tell how much wisdom this woman has. I'm Ryan Dobson, and before we go today, June is the month we celebrate fathers, and for every donation we receive, we'll send you one of two resource packages. The first is my dad's book, Bringing Up Boys, along with its corresponding DVD from our brand new Building a Family Legacy film series. Or if you have daughters, we'll send you Dr. Meg Meeker's book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. The choice is yours when you donate today at drjamesdobson.org or when you call us at 877-732-6825. Coming up next time, boys and girls are not only different, but men and women are too, and bring different gifts and abilities into a relationship. If we don't learn to value those differences, we won't complement each other's strengths and minimize one another's weaknesses. Instead, we'll tear one another down. So join us next time for The Incredible Worth of a Woman. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.